This Thanksgiving Day morning, we will be turning to Psalm 50 for our sermon. And this was our Psalm of the Week a couple of weeks ago, and I was intrigued by verse 14 with the word Thanksgiving, thinking ahead about the Thanksgiving service, and was interested to explore it and think about it a little bit in its context. I won't be giving you a real detailed study, but just a bit of a meditation on this call to be thankful. It's interesting in the context how it's calling us to be thankful. So I'm going to read the whole psalm, but we're going to look especially at verse 14 and 15, but mainly at verse 14. If you'd read with me, I'll read all of Psalm 50. Hear now the word of the Lord. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest, and I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this. Ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. It's an interesting context, and kind of in the middle of the psalm, a call to give thanksgiving. You would think that it would all possibly be kind of a rosy and upbeat psalm, but it's actually quite a psalm of warning. It seems to be two sections in it. The first is more focused directing to the church. The second is more kind of thinking to talk to the world, although there's a close at the end for whoever would want to be in Christ and be the church. But there seems to be something missing. There is a lot of activity he's describing, especially in the first part, but something's missing. There's a problem. He's pretty much reproving everyone in the message. Just as Paul does in Romans, right, 1 through 3 says, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you are all sinners and you all need mercy, you all need God. What's missing? Thanksgiving. What's missing? Particularly a heart of thanksgiving. Oh, they're going through a lot of motions here. And then some of them are not even thinking about God at all. Either way, there's a lack of thanksgiving. There's a lack of gratitude. There's an issue in the heart. You know, we have that phrase often, an attitude of gratitude. And what God is calling out here, what he's rebuking is there's a lack of gratitude. There's a lack of an attitude of gratitude. And God is saying, if you want to be worshiping me properly, then you need to be having a thankful heart. After all, the scriptures teach us, 1 Corinthians 13, if there is no love, it profits you nothing. If there's no thanksgiving, there's no love, it's just kind of an empty thing. The second half of the psalm I submit to you, verses 16 and onward, is seeming to be directed more to the world, those who are not in Christ. Verse 16, unto the wicked, God saith. Now, we can understand that to be anyone who's rebelling against God, but particularly usually that word wicked is in contrast to the righteous, in contrast to those who are God's people. So those who are not God's people, notice they don't like instruction. They are participating in all kinds of sins, and if they're not doing it themselves, they're very happy to be numbered with such sinners. They are not thinking about God. They're not considering that he's around. Perhaps, like so many, sadly, even in our nation today, they deny his own existence. And God has a word for them, just as he has a word for people in our nation and the world today who deny God's existence or deny that he's there or will do anything about it. Verse 21, these things you've done, I have kept silent. Though thou thoughtest that I would altogether such one as thyself. Excuse me. These things have hast thou done, and I kept silence, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Forgive me for stumbling over those words, but what is he saying? You didn't think I was paying attention. Maybe you didn't think I was here. You're definitely not showing me any thanks or love, but you're going out of your way to hate me. We remember in the Ten Commandments, breaking his commandments is hatred towards God. Obeying his commands is love and thankfulness for who he's made us. And so he's saying, I'm going to bring judgment. And that's something that, remember, Christians are waiting for throughout all the world. The revelation we're looking at in the evening on the Lord's Day is always talking about that. Christ is the judge. He's the king. He's bringing judgment. He's acting it out already with the seven trumpets and the woes. He's bringing judgment on the world that there will be an opportunity still yet to repent. The problem is it shows that most people still won't. There's a real danger here for the wicked of the world who have no thanks in their heart to God in any way. He's going to judge that. He's going to bring judgment on that. You know, all the benefits and goodness of God, the common operations of the Spirit that the wicked who don't know the Lord yet enjoy, they'll be judged for not being thankful, for not wanting to praise him, for not wanting to glorify him. As Romans says, they praise the creature instead of the creator. And isn't that too much of the testimony of our nation today? We pray that that would change. We get back to our roots, the founding. But the good thing to think about is, as Christians here to thank God today by his grace, is that you're not them. God has called you out of the world. God has saved you out of the world and made you Christians. He's brought you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior to pay for your sin and to change your mindset and to make you thankful. I was thinking about it this morning. I think I mentioned it recently again somewhere, but it's worth repeating. I'm struck by the fact that Mr. Delgado shared that before he was a Christian, he didn't really enjoy creation. He didn't really enjoy the world. Then when he was a Christian, he did. You see the benefit of just being made to know the Lord, to be made to be saved, and therefore the whole world changes and our whole mindset, our whole worldview changes, and we are now acknowledging the Creator and giving him thanks. Did you thank God for the rain this morning? You should. We need it. Where did it come from? The Psalms tell you that it comes from God. He brings the rain from the clouds and the sky onto the hills, and that gives us the green grass. And the rain, by my experience, I'm pretty sure is early this year. But boy, did we need it. And I was thankful. I teased Abraham last night. I said, hey, Abraham, I probably shouldn't have done this or told you this, but I thought he would understand. Say, hey, can you go outside and water the plants? Well, you don't have to. It's raining, right? But I actually say, thank you, Lord, for watering the plants, because I was having a hard time getting to it. And now I don't have to think about it for a while. And I kind of joke sometimes, oh, thank you, Lord, because I didn't get to washing my car. And now I can hide it a little bit that I haven't. But all of these things are gifts from God. You know, all these things, we should be thanking God all the time. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. You know, I was thankful yesterday. I try to think to do this. I really got great parking spots yesterday at all the places I was going, which is pretty amazing. You know, yesterday was busy. You know, do you think to just thank you, Lord, for that parking spot because it's raining, you know? All these things the Lord does to bless us. And the wicked have nothing of that. If they get a pretty good parking spot, it's not as good as the one it could have been, right? You know? Ah, it's raining! Instead of thank you, Lord, it's raining, you know? Thank God, first of all, that you are called out of the world, that you're called out of the wicked, and you will not face his judgment. Where has your judgment already been faced? It's not that you don't deserve judgment, and I don't deserve judgment, but where has it already been taken care of? On the cross. We thank God that the Lord has paid for our sins on the cross. He has judged us. His wrath was poured on his Son instead of us. His curse came upon his Son instead of us. So we don't need to fear where the wicked are going on judgment day. But he is showing there will be a reckoning. And if you don't want to thank me for all the amazing things I'm doing in your life, I'm going to call you out for that on judgment day. If you don't want to praise me and you want to pretend I don't exist, he's saying to the wicked, I'm going to call you out. If you want to live your life like my law doesn't matter, Romans says the work of the law is written on everyone's heart. Everyone knows God exists and everyone knows his law. But if you want to go around and pretend that you are God and you are a law unto yourself, I'm going to call you out for that on judgment day. You're going to face my judgment. So thank God that's not about you. Thank God that the first section of the psalm is more about you. There's some things to really highlight to be thankful for. We're going to look at a little bit more of the context and focus on our verse in a moment. But look at verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Zion is the church. Zion is the way God speaks about his church, not just Old Testament. So it's out of the church that God shines. Jesus is the light of the world. Therefore, he tells us we are the light of the world in Matthew in his Sermon on the Mount. It's through his church, the New Testament temple, that he shines. What a blessing, what a privilege. Not to be carrying around in darkness of this world and in the corners of the darkness of this world, but to have the light shine upon us, Christ's light to shine upon us and wake us who were sleepers. It's a great blessing. God dwells with his church. Christ's name is what? Emmanuel, God with us. Pause and remember what it would be like if you were the wicked. That would not be your experience. God would not be with you. Try to imagine going through everything you've gone through your life without God, not able to claim Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But to not know his comfort of the Spirit, to not know his mercy and his grace, to not know his presence as your Father. Here we see the church, unlike the world, has God's beauty shining in it and out of it. Look at verse 7. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. Oh, excuse me, I'm looking at the wrong song. Psalm 50, verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. Now, the testifying against you is something we're going to need to take a look at, because God's got some tough words for the church, too. But first, notice that when he has tough words for the church, it's different. He says, I'm your God. Okay? I am your God. Remember, that's what Jacob, when he made the new name for the place he offered up for God, when he realized he'd be coming back to the promised land after so many years away, he said, God is my God. If God brings me back one day, I'll know that God is my God. God is the God of Israel was the name. But he was saying that means he's still my God. Even though my sins, because of the covenant of grace, God is the God of the church. He's faithful to the church. So when he's speaking to the church with rebuke, he's still saying, you're my son. You know, when we rebuke our children, it's different, right? We're rebuking them to restore them, to improve them. And that's the way Jesus is speaking to the churches in the letters to the churches of Asia in Revelation. He is rebuking them very harshly for the most part. But he says at the end of the letters, those whom I love, I rebuke. Repent. Be restored. So look at that blessing. You know, we're studying the doctrine of adoption last week, and think about the behold the love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. But then it does go on to say, but the world doesn't know us because it knew not him, right? So again, there's this distinction. We're not of the world, but that's a good thing. We are God's. Look at, verse 23 together. This is the other opportunity for anyone who wants to repent and become, by his grace and spirit, a Christian, part of the church. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Well, who is our salvation? Yeshua, Jesus. His name is Jesus also. He will save his people from their sins. He will show us Jesus. He will show us the salvation of God when we offer him praise. So here you are offering praise and thanksgiving today. And God says, I'm going to show you my salvation. As Psalm 25 talks about, those who trust in me and turn to me, I will show them the secrets of my covenant. So you have a friend in God through Christ, as Abraham was a friend of God. You who are walking with God, he's going to reveal himself to you. He's going to show you his ways to you, even as he is now. And this is a blessing that most of the world is not enjoying right now. They don't know they're not enjoying it. But you are enjoying it, and it's a blessing. Now, here's the thing. Look at verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So again, my saints, holy ones, holy because of him. But then we come down to verse 8. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. And he goes on to say, I'm not going to take that sacrifice. Now he's talking to the church. I'm not going to accept that sacrifice. I'm not going to accept that offering. And you might be wondering to yourself, but these are things that you have commanded in Leviticus. And yet you don't want them. You see, his church is acting like the church outwardly. They are offering up all these different sacrifices according to how God has prescribed them, especially the voluntary sacrifices in Leviticus 1 through 5. What's the problem? Why is he saying, I don't need that? Well, first of all, he doesn't need anything, right? He says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I don't need to ask you for food. I don't need this stuff. I own everything. What's the point of the sacrifices that God gave to us? He doesn't need all that stuff. It's for us that he gives it to us. The shedding of blood to point us to the blood of the Lamb, to bring us into a place of experiencing his cleansing and his mercy, to have community with him. But he doesn't need any of that. But what is the problem if he did yet command it? Well, this leads us to our verse today, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Notice the contrast. And frankly, that Hebrew word is probably referring to the thanksgiving offering. But broader than that, what it's representing is, if you don't come before me with thankful hearts, all that stuff is nothing. Even if you did exactly what I told you to do. If you are coming to me and you're pretending to worship, but you're not really worshiping, it doesn't count. I don't accept it. It's not a sweet-smelling sacrifice in my nose. See, what the problem is here, he's criticizing, is your religion is just ritual. Now, ritual and religion are not anti-Christian words in Scripture. James talks about what is the true, pure religion. And God gives us lots of ritual. The Lord's Supper, for instance. But you can come and take the Lord's Supper, and yet, 1 Corinthians 11, you can eat and drink damnation on yourself while you take the Lord's Supper, even if you do it exactly the way God commanded. Because if you are coming with an unthankful heart, and you are coming just offering it up in ritual, because that's what we do, and I'm part of the church, but we're not coming all the time, thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for my life. Thank you, God, you let me get up today. Thank you, God, for all my problems, because it means I'm alive. Thank you for all the busy things I have to do, because I have a family. If you're going to go about your life and you're going to go about your worship, and even if you do things according to how I have prescribed, God says, if you don't do it with thanksgiving, I reject it. I spit it out. Isn't that what Christ is specifically dealing with when he's criticizing the two main churches in his letters in Revelation? Just a lukewarm heart, right? You've just gotten lukewarm with me. You lost your first love. You don't act towards me like you used to. You're not excited to be with me anymore. And God is challenging the church. He's rebuking the church so that she repents and she is restored to her first love, so that she becomes hot or cold, refreshing or soothing, so that she gets her first love back and is excited, so that when she gathers before the Lord with her offerings, he's glad to be here. You know what it's like when you've given a gift or you've done something for someone and they're not thankful? Kind of tarnishes the feeling of the relationship, right? You want to do it no matter what because that's the right thing to do in honoring of Christ. You don't do it for the gift. It's better to give than to receive. Nonetheless, the people you enjoy doing something for the most are those who express thanks, right? When they're like, oh, thank you so much. What do you do? Oh, you're welcome. You know, like it just blesses you, right? I was encouraged. We were working real hard this week to get a lot of things done in the house. And the kids were helping mommy and I, and they just were glad to do it. And that blessed me more than the work they were doing. Because if they did the work, but they're like, make my stupid clothes, mop the stupid floor, you know, would I enjoy that? I mean, I'd be glad the house is getting cleaned, but I wouldn't enjoy it so much. But when they have a good attitude and I thank them, oh, it's okay. Yeah, Abe was helping me put something together last night, and this is fun. Oh, it's a blessing for a father to hear his son say, this is fun assembling something with you, Dad. You know, he could be begrudging about it. Is this done yet? Can I go to bed? Yeah. No. That's the distinction God wants from us. He does not want you to get up in the morning and start to curse the day. You know, you don't deserve the day any more than I do. You know, we act like we are entitled. We are not entitled. Every single breath, every single heartbeat, every single moment, every single morning, and every single raindrop, and every single ray of sun is a gift of God, and we don't deserve any of it. There's no reason that we shouldn't be thankful all the time. Remembering again, Romans 8:28 teaches us, everything is for our good to make us more like Jesus, as it continues in the verses. We have to be thankful for everything. And the church so often is just so very unthankful, which is why through the scriptures and through church history, it turns away from God again and again. It forgets that God did all this and turns to other things. So the danger is that we need to have thanksgiving. The word for offering, again in Hebrew, could be sacrifice. You know, you do make sacrifices for the things that you care about and the people you love, right? And it's not a burden. But it is a sacrifice of time, resources, energy. You know, God has other prophets that say, you know, you're offering me your leftovers. You're lame and you're sick. Should I accept that? Because you don't do that to the governor. You give him your best. But to me, you're going to give me your worst? You don't obviously care. This is, you're just going through the rituals. You're just doing pretend worship, but you don't mean it. It needs to be a sacrifice. To the Most High. Complete your vows to the Most High. El Elyon. We studied that name in the names of God earlier this year. He is the Most High. There is no one over him. He is sovereign over everyone, every king. There's nothing happening in this world that isn't from him. That's what the revelation is showing us where we are right now, right? I mean, everything is from the throne of God and executed by the Lamb of God, which is the comfort and encouragement for the Christian. Whatever is happening to me is from God. He is sovereign. I bow and I give him glory and praise, including Antipas, his faithful servant in Revelation. What did Antipas have to go through by God's sovereignty? Death. He was a martyr. But if God so wills it, we say, "Thy will be done." Because he is sovereign. Now, remember, he is the sovereign. He's the Most High, and he's your sovereign. He's your king. He is your merciful, saving king. So you have the golden scepter of mercy extended over to you instead of the iron of rod that will destroy in the end. But that doesn't mean you can take him for granted without gratitude. It doesn't mean you can presume upon his grace. It doesn't mean you can go about your day with a bad attitude. Even if you're going to go about doing all the things he says to do, show up for church but wish you weren't here, show up for service but can't wait till you get out of here, have family worship only because you know you're supposed to but not because you want to, going about it instead of yes, then it's nothing. Whether it's in your home, whether it's in your bedroom, whether it is if you're even praying privately, if you don't want to do it and you're not thankful, it means nothing. There's no love if there's no thanks. And so this is the real issue. It's a heart issue. Remember recently in Matthew 18, forgiveness is a heart issue. Jesus says, if you don't forgive your brethren from your heart, out of the heart the mouth speaks. All evil things come out of the heart. It's a heart issue. It comes down to the heart. Where's your heart this morning, beloved? How is your ritual today? It's Thanksgiving Day. I think it's striking. I didn't really anticipate how this could connect to Thanksgiving Day until getting ready for it recently. We have a lot of ritual on Thanksgiving here in America, don't we? We have the typical things we like to make. The typical things we like to do, I never grew up going to church for Thanksgiving, sadly, but I don't think a lot of people do, but if that's what we do every year, that's great. We have all these rituals we do. But are we really thankful in our heart today? Or are we just going to complain, I can't wait to get the day over? Are we just going to be frustrated with all that we have to do today? Or are we going to just focus on shopping or football? Hey, by the way, I'm looking forward to my team playing today. It's not the Lord's Day, but is that going to be the focus of our heart? Or is our focus going to truly be on God? Thinking about a nation, hoping to represent our nation, that God would have mercy on it. Are we going to give our hearts to God? When we're home today after our meal, will you thank God not only before you eat, but after? As Matthew Henry gives us a prayer to follow, a prayer after the meal. Are we going to thank God throughout the day? Are we going to close our day when we're tired because we're full and we're done and we just maybe on the couch all of a sudden and then we shuffle off to bed and we don't think to thank God? I mean, isn't that your and my testimony too often? Let's thank God all day today. But from our hearts. Whatever surprises we may have, whatever good things, whatever challenges, whether family we may be far from, let's be thankful in our heart and not just go through the motions. And let's truly be thanking God for our country. Let's truly be thanking God for all that he's doing in our life. We have vowed to do it. Fulfill your vows to the Most High God. Fulfill your vows to him. You know, when we profess faith in the church, we covenant with God. He covenants with us in grace, but we respond. We reciprocate. Like at Mount Sinai, you will be our God. We will be your people. We will do what you say. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. And we have vowed to give ourselves to the Lord and to his people. We have vowed to be holy, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. That's what we are. And so we offer up thanksgiving to God, but it's got to be from our heart. That's what he wants. He wants it from our heart. Where's your heart today? See, it can't just be ritual. There's a place for ritual. He is describing the ritual that he commanded in the text, but that's not enough. And it's actually nothing if it isn't real. Really worship. Really be thankful. True worship is thankful. True Christianity is thankful. Be real. That's what God is saying. He's challenging his church. He's challenging the world. If you're not in the church, you know, if you're not in Christ, you can pretend I'm not here and don't ever thank me for a thing, but in the end, you're going to find out I gave you everything. I'm going to judge you for not thanking me and praising me and serving me. Okay, but now if you're in the church and you say you're here to worship the Lord and you say you care about worship and you can't wait to worship in heaven and you want to glorify the Lord and you're going about church, but your heart is not in it, he's saying, you're no better than the world. You're just faking it. But he's saying, I'm not stupid. I am the Most High God. And you should be thankful that I call you to assemble before me. You should be thankful that I've put my name upon you, that I have chosen to show you sovereign grace, that I have chosen to call you into my kingdom, that I have chosen to show you my salvation in my Son, Jesus Christ. How dare you approach me with a cold, hard, empty heart? I do not accept that. It is not acceptable. That's not what worship is. So he's calling us today to be truly thankful. And that is the message for you this morning, beloved. Be truly thankful. Indeed, have the true religion. Indeed, follow through with the rituals Christ would have us do. But be real about it. Let it be real in your heart, or it's nothing. Isn't it a scary thing to think that you could walk out these doors right now and wasted an hour and everything you're doing right now is absolutely nothing before God? Isn't that frightening? I remind you, the men were studying Jonathan Edwards' Charity and Its Fruits. And that's what Paul says. If there's no love in it, it's vain. It profits you nothing. How scary it is to think that we could come in and out of here and just do the ritual of Thanksgiving service and maybe remember to say a short prayer before we eat our dinner and go about our secular day otherwise, if you think about it, and never really be thankful. When you sit down and you're about to say grace and you look at that food and you look at the people around your table, be thankful in your heart or God have mercy on you. Be grateful. Have an attitude of gratitude to all that you see, or God have mercy on you. God have mercy on me. Let's remember to begin our days with thanksgiving and not forget to say thanks at the end of the day for all of the blessings and mercies he has bestowed upon us. And that just starts in your heart. That just starts in your heart. May the Lord give us a heart of flesh. May he massage our heart and make it more grateful at this very moment. May none of us walk out of here this morning and have not worshiped God truly. May none of us leave this building and have had God reject our offering to him. Make your heart thankful right now. May the Lord bless your heart right now. What can you thank God right now as we close in prayer? What can you say thank you for? And if you can't just start making this enormous long list, then that's your problem. You're not thankful in your heart. And so you never think about all the amazing things he did for you. But remember Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. namely salvation and eternal life, but all the other things to enjoy abundantly as you grow in him and sanctification along the way. Just be thankful to Jesus. Just be thankful. What does God really want from me? Just be thankful. You know, you find yourself saying that sometimes to people. Can't you just be thankful? Sometimes to children, can't you just learn to be thankful for what you have? To whom is given it to you? Be thankful. Again, the message for you this morning, as we begin our day, and I trust truly in the Lord as he works on our hearts and grants this grace, be truly thankful. Don't just be thankful. Be truly thankful. And I think of a prayer, and I imagine it reflects other sources, but I think of a prayer. I was thinking of it preparing this Julie Andrews, I believe it's in Sound of Music, when she prays with the children, she says, may the Lord bless us to be truly thankful. I've often thought about that. Yeah, it's possible we could say the prayer and go through it all, but not truly be thankful. May the Lord bless us to be truly thankful. Let's pray. Almighty God in heaven, we confess to you our lack of thankfulness, our lack of true wholehearted love and thankfulness. We cry out to you for mercy. Lord, help us to pause and think about you and our Savior and our Comforter, our Father. Help us to pause and think of our brethren, to think of indeed this amazing nation we get to live in. We have so much blessings here, so much opportunity. Oh, Lord, we do thank you for how you provide our daily bread and so much more. We pray, as the Shorter Catechism teaches us to with that part of the Lord's Prayer, that we would enjoy your blessing with it. We do thank you for the competent portion of the good things of this life, but we also pray that you would help us to enjoy your blessing with it. That is, that we would be thankful. That we would know how unworthy and undeserving we are, and that we would just say thank you. Lord, we confess that's part of our problem. We are too proud and high-minded, and therefore we complain instead of be thankful because we think we deserve something better. We don't. We deserve hell. We deserve to be abandoned by you in utter loneliness as your son was on the cross. And yet how gracious and good you are to us, your church. We do thank you. You have called us out of the world. We pray you'd help us not act like the world, more importantly than outwardly, though that's important according to your commands, that our heart would not be like the world, cold to you, hard to you, disinterested, unwilling to praise you for who you are and what you are doing. But Lord, as we hear the rain coming down even stronger now, we remember we're in an area that needs this rain so much. And we thank you that you continue to send it. We recognize, as the scriptures do, that this rain is coming from your hand right now. You are choosing to cause a shower upon us right now. Just as we squeeze the garden hose over the plants and over the flowers, you are now sending your rain, squeezing the clouds over our heads, letting it hit the roof here. And we thank you. We thank you for the green grass it will produce. We thank you, Lord, for the refreshment of the land. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you would rain now first upon our hearts and refresh and revive, soften the soil, and let your seed grow more and your fruit grow off of that. Oh, Lord, we are so thankful to you. And we pray that you would just make us more and more truly thankful, that you would make us more and more grateful for your grace and goodness, that you will help us to just start the day with a thankful heart. And this day we do again thank you for our nation and ask your blessing upon our president. We pray your blessing upon our House of Representatives and Senate and the Supreme Court. We pray for all the lower courts and governors of the land, even down to our closest townships. And we pray, Father, that you will guide the king's hearts, that you will lead this land into more righteousness according to your law, that it would be the law of the land as there would be revival and reformation, and practically and perhaps even officially that Jesus would be acknowledged as Lord and King and sovereign over the nation, for he is. But a nation who has you as God and knows it is blessed. We pray for more blessing. We ask, Lord, for more mercy and blessing of your presence and guidance in this land. We do pray for salvation to pour through this place, that it wouldn't just be ritualistic keeping of your law, but that it would be from saved hearts that love you. Almighty God, bless us as we enjoy this day of thanksgiving. May it be truly that, a day of giving thanks to you. We pray your blessing upon our meals that we will enjoy and our fellowship and our fun. And all through the day that we would just pause to ourselves and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for this. Thank you for that person. Thank you for this food I love. Thank you for this quiet and safe home. Lord, so many things, if we would just keep observing and looking, all that you are doing, give us a heart ready to acknowledge you instead of murmuring and complaining against you, which is the main thing that you say is bad about the church in the Old Testament, and you warn us not to be the same in the New. The way for not complaining and murmuring against you is to be thankful for all you've given us. How often did you not take away blessings to punish and discipline your church, because they forgot to be thankful and then started to complain and were ungrateful for being saved out of Egypt, delivered through the desert, and given the promised land. So, Lord, let us see you have taken us out of Egypt. You're delivering us through the desert, and the promised land is before us on the horizon. How can we not be thankful and grateful? For you have not treated us as our sins deserved. You have sent them away from us as far as the east is from the west. You have cast our sins behind your back into the depths of the sea and remember them no more. You are ready to forgive us and sanctify us. You are our Father. We thank you for being adopted children. Help us not to forget to be thankful to our Heavenly Father. Bless us this day in every way. And Lord, as we come back to worship you this Lord's Day, may it be coming with a grateful heart that our worship and ritual according to your scripture would be a sweet-smelling savor of praise to you and indeed a pleasant thing to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all your people said, amen. Beloved, let's turn to Psalm 147 before we close, page 332. Doesn't that rain sound beautiful? Well, I'm tempted to go long until the rain settles, but I'll let you go get wet. We'll go ahead and sing together, and then we'll close. Page 332, and this psalm is just saying, let us lift up our hands with thanksgiving. Let us give praises to the Lord. Let's just be thankful before him. Let's be truly thankful. Please stand.
Da 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 da. The Lord lifts up the meek and casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord and give him thanks. On harp his praises sound. Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who for the earth below prepareth rain, who maketh grass upon the mountains grow. He gives the beast his food, he feeds the ravens young that cry. His pleasure not in horses' strength, nor in man's legs doth lie, but in all those that do him fear, the Lord doth pleasure take. In those that to his mercy do by hope themselves betake. The Lord praise, O Jerusalem, Zion, thy God confess. For thy gates bars he maketh strong, thy sons in thee doth bless.
Please be seated. I'm thinking about it might be the next psalm. I was thinking that's actually the psalm that speaks of the rain coming from God, but I won't delay us. What I do want to do is pray for us and then give an admonition, and then we'll have the benediction. And I'll be just reading something briefly from the section on a Thanksgiving service. We've been following it roughly, but I'd like to close with a few words from that. But first, let's pray once more. Lord, we do thank you that you are our great God. We thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We ask your blessing upon your people now. We thank you for the pardon of our sins, for your righteousness given to us from God in Christ for eternal life. And we thank you for the abundant life you give us here to live in the meantime. Help us to take advantage of it by being thankful, for we can't enjoy anything if we're not thankful for it. And let that thankfulness be directed to you, the giver of all good things. Help us to hear this admonition and to take it seriously and soberly, that we would enjoy our day righteously in holiness. And send us away with your blessing, we pray, and let us be thankful for that as we receive it. And even as we have to run through the rain, it would look, let us rejoice and be thankful for it and this memorable moment. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So this is the Westminster Standards Directory for Public Worship, and there's a section they have about observing days of public thanksgiving. And so again, we've been following the order of it roughly, but I'd like to read what they have here at the end. You are solemnly admonished to beware of all excess and riot, tending to gluttony or drunkenness, and much more of these sins themselves in their eating and refreshing, and to take care that your mirth and rejoicing be not carnal, but spiritual, which may make God's praise to be glorious, and themselves humble and sober, and that both your feeding and rejoicing may render you more cheerful and enlarged, further to celebrate his praise. And in this case, it says, in the midst of the congregation, when you come back in the evening. We don't have an evening service today. We will on the Lord's Day. But may the Lord bless you to be eating and drinking soberly and with moderation and rejoicing in him, that it would make you even more cheerful. Make sure you go about it cheerfully, and make sure you remember you're still Christians, and the day should be treated and spent like a Christian. Receive the blessing of the Lord now. Please stand and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You are dismissed. Let's see who gets through the rain.